1 Samuel 18. And since we're going to have a little bit more time and we're going to be in the neighborhood, we might as well go over and see 17. Sorry, that was humor. You know, if you're over near somebody and you're seeing them and you got a real good friend of yours who lives right next door, you might want to see them too. You could hardly go to 1 Samuel 18 and not go over to 1 Samuel 17, because like one of the best messages there ever has been, anybody could preach it. All you got to do is read it. It's where David slew Goliath. It's just easy. I mean, any preacher that's worth anything, if he was over in the neighborhood, he'd have to stop in and say hello. Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to sell this, Mel. I'm selling it. But listen, I want to tell you the title of this message is I'm going to leave here with your head. Some people say, I don't like the way you title your message. Oh, well, you preach your own messages then. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, I want to get, let's look in 1 Samuel 17, verse 34 first. And we're going, our goal is to get to 18. And I'm going to try to show you something that God showed me in an old message. But I want to show it to you in a different way. I'm going to talk about covenant. I'm going to talk about salvation. I'm going to talk about relationship with Christ. And I'm going to talk about a type and shadow. David being a type and shadow of the anointed one, which is Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one. David was the anointed one. He was the next king. He was the second king, right? Well, there was Adam, and then there was Jesus. There took a covenant with the second Jesus. We'll get into that. So I'm trying to give you some information, and I'm also killing time to give you the 1 Samuel 17:34. Is everybody there? Everybody's got a Bible there? Can look at it? All right, good. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and he took the lion and took a lamb out of the flock. Verse 35. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. Underline that if you're one of them radicals who write and underline your Bibles. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. This is David having a conversation with Saul about why he's probably not qualified to fight the giant. And then David gives him his qualifications. Okay? David refers back to a time where he was watching his father's sheep. The thing I want you to get out of these two verses right here, is notice where David went to. He went to the business end of the lion and the bear. He went right to the mouth. Amen? And then when he, I want y'all to get this, and maybe in your mind, that sheep had probably taken on some wounds. Because you don't get, just watch Animal Planet. There's usually a chase and a breakdown, and then the lion or the bear's on top of the animal, and then it's in the mouth, okay? So we've all been wounded, right? And we've almost been devoured. I don't know, some of us maybe not as much as others, but we've almost been devoured, right? And I love what David does. David comes right to the mouth of the thing that's been taken. Amen? He goes right to the lion, right to the bear, right to the mouth, where it is. Listen, we sometimes as Christians in 2019 go to the tail end, or we beat around the bush, or we're worried about being politically incorrect, and we tiptoe around the thing, and that's probably why we're never getting back what the enemy's taken, because we don't go right to the source and say, that right there is what's wrong. Amen? All right. First of all, listen, I'm preaching to you, so I want you to hear me. He said, there's your problem, sheep. You're in the lion's mouth. You got away from the flock and away from the shepherd, and you're in danger because you're right there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes you need to tell people, this is the reason you're in trouble. I know it's painful. I know it hurts. And I know it's hard to say. And I know the responses. But you might just save their life if you tell them. Hey, you're getting devoured because you're drinking. You're getting devoured because you're using drugs. You're getting devoured because you're lying. You're getting devoured because you're stealing. You're getting devoured because you're having an affair and an affair and an affair. I know it's tough. Sometimes you got to just go right to the source of where the killing's happening. Amen? And I notice, now check this out, as soon as the sheep is free, what happens then? Turns on him. What does he do? Grabs it by the beard. Man, beards are biblical. I'm sorry, I just had to throw it in there. I'm sorry. But he grabs him by the beard and goes to work on the lion and the bear. What does that mean? It, once again, not the sheep is in safe place, but as people of the gospel, the people of Jesus, we have to fight our devil right in the face, right face to face. We got to deal with our issues too, right head on, not sugarcoat. Well, it might be because of this or might be because of that. That's why we're getting devoured too. The reason our country has took a shift and we're falling apart and we don't recognize who we are anymore, it's not because the world's doing anything different. The world, somebody told me, sinners sin. That's what they do. The world lives like the world. It's because the church has moved off from doing what the church is supposed to do. Amen? We've become silent and comfortable in our confines. And can I hate to do this, but I feel God nudging me another way over here. A lot of times, if I'm not mistaken, we've probably allowed sheep to be taken by the lion and the bear, and we don't really care. Just one. It's just two. But problem is, if the devil figures out that you got free lunch, what's he doing? He's coming back for free lunch. Amen? So that's about the truth of it, right? So we look at it that way. I want y'all to see it. Look, I promise I'm going somewhere tonight. Y'all just stay with me. I just couldn't help myself. It's laying there for the taking. Verse 37, David, moreover, the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. That's good, ain't it? Verse 38, and he said, Saul armed David with his armor and put an helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded himself with a sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go. And for he had not proved it, David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. All right, y'all know this story, but there's a twofold message here, I believe, okay? First of all, I believe Saul really, truly worried about David's well-being, giving him his armor. One, we understand the armor's too big. But I see another thing in the underlying, and I'll get to that later on. I believe Saul wanted David to take his identity to somehow, if the victory was secured, then people would have said, was it David or was it Saul? Because it was Saul's armor. And see, once you get up into the cheap seats, they were two mountains and one valley. When you get up into the cheap seats, you really can't see that well. So maybe he's hoping that, hey, everybody would think that was me instead of him. And let me break it down this way to you. A lot of times as Christians, we want God to jump in and save us. And when it's over, we want him to put us back in charge. Amen? Do y'all understand where I'm tracking right there? But I love... And y'all remember this and underline it, because this is kind of the whole crux of what I'm preaching tonight, is he gave Saul back every bit of his armor. Amen? Y'all stay with that thought. When we get down to where we want to go, I'll show you something that God showed me. It's kind of the whole reason. And you say, would you preach a whole message just for one point? Yeah, because that's what preachers do. That's what this one does. I don't know about the rest of them. All right. Jump down to verse 45 with me, will you? Jump down to verse 45. Now, if y'all want to go back and read all that, man, there's some good stuff in there. Woo! That's the easiest stuff. They ain't a preacher alive. You can't preach that, you might as well check your preaching credentials. Hey, man, he's a mess in there. Five smooth stones, the brook. You got the whole 9 yards in there. But anyway, let's go to verse. Then said David. Y'all see that, verse 45? Then said David. Remember what the title of the message was? I'm leaving here with your head. Okay, look at verse 45. See, I didn't know this, but this kind of goes back to where the lion and the bear type thing, meeting it head on. Watch David right here. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear. Let me stop right here. Have y'all noticed I'm trying to teach a little more tonight and not be out of control? I'm maintaining pretty good, ain't I? Hey, watch this right here. What this is a recourse back. See, the giants just told him he's going to slew him. Amen? See, if you're ever going to fight the devil, when Jesus fought the devil and whenever you fight the devil's going to say he's got a lot of rhetoric. Amen? And with his rhetoric, what he wants you to do is to buy in. He doesn't want you to quote back anything, any gospel, any truth, any scripture, anything else like that. He wants you to rehearse his rhetoric. You understand what I'm saying? Well, we understand that David didn't do that right away. Listen, then said David. So what he's saying is this is his recourse back to the giant. You need to speak to your giants like this. Amen? Whew. All right, y'all good? See, if I'd have rushed on through that, you wouldn't have had that, and you wouldn't have that weapon for this week. Amen? Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. God. Y'all don't like that kind of stuff. There's something wrong. You know what I mean? That just gets me every time. Amen. Verse 46. This day, when? Today. Will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. God's going to do it all. And I will smite thee and take thy head from thee. You see it? He didn't come down there thinking, well, I might win this. He's got goals and aspirations. I want your noggin. I want it. You see it? I mean, it's right there. It's not no accident. Some of us, listen, as Christians, we need to be more strategic in what we're doing. The enemy's coming after you, and he's got 9-foot-tall weaver's beam type stuff. How big of his shield is? He's been a warrior all his life. That's who you are, but who I am. I'm coming after you in the name of the Lord, and I'm taking your head off. Because without a head, you ain't nothing. The head's the biggest part of the problem. Amen. Yeah. Without the head, the giant can't do anything to you. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that goes with a giant. Without a head, you can kind of mess around. Oh, never mind. You understand what I'm saying? You can kind of be a smart aleck when you ain't got no head. Now, this day will the Lord deliver me into thine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give thy carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. I'm here. God, y'all need to get. I am here on purpose. And my purpose is to take that head off your shoulders that everybody will know. They'll be speaking about this on Flat Top Mountain in 2019 in Saudi Daisy, Tennessee. They'll be talking about this right here. And listen, I want y'all to understand this. David is a direct representation of Jesus Christ in this very moment. He is not Jesus Christ. He is a representation of Jesus Christ. He is the anointed one. He is the anointed next king of Israel. His father sent him to the battle. Amen. He had other sons in the battle, but none of the sons and none of the people could do anything about the giant. They were paralyzed. The first king, first Adam, could not do anything against his adversary. So he sent the anointed one down. And the anointed one got down there, but the anointed one didn't look like, praise God, did not look like he could handle the fight. Jesus. Jesus, when he came, was not recognized as the only begotten. He didn't look like he could handle the fight. But the only reason he was going to handle the fight is because he was going to be obedient to the Father sending him to the battle for the sons who couldn't fight the fight. Whew. Ooh, see it? And there he is. He's standing there. And he said, because of God. Right? Because God will be recognized. Y'all good? Now let's jump over. I know, and there's a ton more in there. You can preach so much. But let's jump down to about verse 52. Yeah, verse 52. Not only did when David, being a representation of Jesus Christ, when he slew the giant, right, left his body there, all the other Israelites then attacked and started taking the field. It gave them power and assurance that they could face their enemy. Y'all good? Now watch this, verse 52. Then the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted, verse 52, and pursued the Philistines until they come up to the valley of the gates of Ekron, and the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Shaarim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistines and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. Y'all see that? Verse 55. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistines, he said unto Abner, look at this, the captain of the host, Abner's son, is this youth. Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, inquire those whose son the stripling is. Do you see that? Who is his daddy? Who's his father, right? But I started thinking about this. Why does he not know? Is this not the one who's been playing the harp for him? Is this not the one that had a conversation about going down and fighting the giant, the lion, and the bear, and put the armor on? Can I tell you something? Saul didn't care about David. He cared about himself. It's a very clear picture of who we are. We only care about taking care of ourselves. And if there's somebody, even Jesus, who can help us get through a tough time, that would be great. But we really don't care about who he is. Until we care about who he is. Amen? You can spend time. Jesus can sing you to sleep. And you don't know him. Jesus can come down on your worst day and give you peace. Jesus can come to your tent when your biggest enemy is railing on you and say, I will fight for you. And you never ask important questions. Why? Why? You just ask how. Right? And then when it's all over with, you look out on the battlefield and say, who does he belong to? Who does that guy, who does that young boy belong to? And guess what? His men, I don't know. Man, you would think he would knew everything about this guy. Y'all good? Are y'all, is this neat? When I see stuff like this all the time, and I'm like, man, I don't know if I'd preach the whole message just for that. But when I get into it, I'm like, wow, that's awesome. Here's my favorite part. Y'all want to see my favorite part of this whole story? I know, you'll find out who I am right here, but watch this. Verse 57, and David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, and Abner took him, right, and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. That's my favorite part! Golly, bum! Carrying his head like a suitcase all day long. Do you see that? This guy, Abner, I mean, you're talking about like, you know, the Secretary of Defense. Hey, the king wants to see you. Okay. Where's he at? Up there in the tent. Okay. You can leave that head out here. No, I'm good. No, I got this thing. It's mine. Hey, his armor's in his tent, shields in the tent, swords in the tent, pumpkin head in the hand. Right? Are y'all, is this insane? What kind of Bible do you read? I like just a real, clean cut religion and just, give me 30 minutes and sing a couple songs and get out of here. One of the main people that represent Jesus Christ and as a type and shadow is walking around with a giant's head in his hand. That's the kind of Bible I like. Amen? He walks in the tent and it's got to make Saul insecure. Can y'all see this? Get a grip. They don't have chairs. It's all pillows. When you come into the tent of the king, you lay. There's no chair, high chairs, tables that you lay around. This guy, I know I'm taking liberty, puts the head down, maybe puts a foot on it. What, King Saul, how you doing, sir? God's anointed, appreciate you. Thank you. It's good. What do you need? Huh? Man, I guarantee you, there wasn't a man in that room that wasn't sitting there staring at that doggone head. And you say, why? Why do you care, Kevin, about that head? Why? Are you like morbid or something? I think, if I'm not mistaken, that's kind of what God wants us to do, is to walk around with the head of the biggest thing that was holding us back from salvation, our testimony. I believe he wants us to carry it around just like that. Not all my sins, not all my baggage, not all my trouble, but hey, God beat this thing for me at Calvary and he died for it. So praise God. Yeah, I do carry it around. I do keep it with me. Yeah, it's right there. I don't leave it at home. I don't leave it in the car. I don't give it. I carry it around with me. That way, because somebody asked, why are you carrying that around? Because this thing used to scare me to death. Used to paralyze me with fear. Used to have me submitted. Used to have me under bondage. But you know what? Me and Jesus, me and God, me and the Holy Spirit, we cut its head off, and now I'm carrying it. Want to talk about anything else? Huh? You want to talk about anything else? I'm just glad to be here. Yeah, don't hope at a whole. God, could you imagine what's that? Dave, you don't mind? You're getting blood all over the carpet. Amen? But wow. Guys, this is a different kind of, this is a different kind of faith than we read. But this is Jesus. This is what we do. This is what we should be doing. Well, you shouldn't just carry around, you should love people. Yeah, I love people, but I want to tell them why I love them. I want to tell them I love them because Jesus died for my sins and conquered my biggest sin, which was lying, stealing, sexuality, stuff, all this other. That was who I was. Amen? Without Jesus doing that, I couldn't love you. I'll be honest with you. I can't love you because guess what? I hated you. I love myself. Oh, no. Verse 58. Y'all, is this good? I told you we're trying to get to 18. We ain't even got to the. I'm going to try to show you something. And I'm trying to, did y'all see me lose control of the real teaching manner that I had going on? One of these days I'm going to be a teacher preacher. Probably the day before I pass on into the next world. Verse 58, and Saul said to him, whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse the Bethlehemite. Golly, it's just so cool. I know that. He's fixated. Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? Amen. It's almost like how they fixated, where do you come from, Jesus? Who are you? I'm the only begotten son. My father's God, which makes me God, right? Man, they just want to know, what kind of person? Your dad must be something special. Well, God, I want to move on so bad. Well, see, my dad, he's amazing. But what my dad could do is he could see when I needed to get into the battle. He didn't have to do anything. He just sent me. Oh, never mind. Y'all get that. Somewhere tonight you'll wake up and you'll go, oh. See, I had this. I was working on this message, and me and Melissa went down to eat, or we went down into town, and we were coming back, and I was coming back up the mountain, and I got this. It hit me of what God sacrificed to save me. He crushed his son, Jesus. And I started thinking about my son. And I'm like, I couldn't do that. I couldn't crush my son for somebody else, especially somebody ain't worth nothing. So, I mean, I was fighting back tears. I was fighting them back, man. I'm driving. I'm like, God, I'm about to have a fit. Now, I'm not talking about one of them fits where you shout and run. I'm talking about one of them fits where you can't see through the tears and you don't know if you're going to wreck or not. So once I got it under control, I looked over to Melissa and I said, Melissa, I almost had to pull over because I just realized what Jesus did for me. He's like, we've been preaching for 15 years. You're just now figuring it out. No, I'm not just figuring it out, but every once in a while it hits you like waves, the how wretched you are and how righteous he was and what he gave for you. Right in the nick of time, he sent his only begotten son to get in the fight that we couldn't win. And if he had never done that, and if he had never crushed him for my sin, if he had never loved me while yet I was an enemy, then I wouldn't be standing here. And I just know for a fact I couldn't do it. And if I know I couldn't do it, what would it have took for God to do it? Somebody said, I love it. Can't comprehend that. I couldn't even comprehend. Now I can't comprehend what it's going to be like for somebody who didn't accept Christ, who heard the gospel, and they stand before God and say, I just didn't want to trust in your son, Jesus. So you wanted to walk over the blood instead of come through the blood. You don't think you would be standing in the hands of an angry God. I know I would be. If I shed my son's blood and loved you enough to come get you when you were wretched, but you turned that down, it wouldn't be a problem for me to do anything to you. Let's look at 18, verse 1. Y'all ready? And it came to pass, when he had made an end of the speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and wouldn't let him go no more home to his father's house. Verse 3, then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. Jonathan fell in love with the anointed one, with his soul. And he made a covenant with him. Jonathan asked him to come in to his soul. Saul said, come into my house. One person says, Jesus, come in to me. And another person says, God, just come in and dwell in the temporal. Amen? One made a covenant. One made a demand. One made a love sacrifice. One just said, you're not going home no more. I like having you around. One says, I like having you around when things get tough. One said, I love you. Come on. Come on, listen. If you don't, Jonathan's sitting in that same tent. He's sitting in that same tent, and he's looking at David. He's like, I am in love with you. Not what you do, not what you did. I'm in love with you because you are the anointed one. I'm not in love with the church. I'm not in love with the singing. I'm not in love with the preaching. I'm not in love with all the stuff. I'm not in love with all. I'm in love with Jesus. You. I just love you. You know what it would look? You know how crazy that would look? Jonathan, after he's had a conversation back and forth, Saul is his father. Y'all better get this. Saul is his father, his Adam. Jesus, or David, is his type Jesus, the anointed one. He is the heir to the kingdom of Saul. If like us, we are heir to whoever our father is. If we don't switch fathers and accept God as our Father through Jesus Christ, then we will inherit what our father had. Somewhere in this thing, he said, I love you more than my lineage. I love you more than my heritage. I love you more than being the next king of Israel. I would rather you have, not you have, y'all better get this. I want you to have my identity. But I would like to have your identity too. Y'all getting it? What y'all? I seen this. I can't believe I'd never seen this. Watch. They made a covenant. Look at verse 4. And Jonathan stripped himself. Y'all getting this? Ed, look at this real close. We'll get it right here. And Jonathan stripped himself for the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. You see it? He gave everything. He gave the same. He gave his outer garments, which says, when you see David, you see the prince. The marking of the kingdom. He is the heir to the kingdom of Saul. Nope, that's Jonathan. Nope, you might think it's Jonathan, but it's David. Whew. I want y'all to hear this. David didn't reject the offer. Did y'all get that? He took off Saul's armor and gave it back to him. He took Jonathan's and used it. Why? Because Jonathan was making an exchange and saying, I want you to be me and I want to be with you. I want to be recognized as yours. I want you and me to be together. Praise God, I don't want to be. You're not just somebody that helps me. You are the one I love. Golly, bum. Woo! Watch, I'll show you. And David went out whatsoever, it's verse 5. Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely, and Saul set over him the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and in all the sight of Saul's servants. Everybody loved David. And it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, and the women came out of the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with the joy, and with the instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and saying the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed but 1,000. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And verse 9, and Saul eyed David from that day forward. What do you mean eyed him? He was looking to kill him and destroy him. Not long after this, he takes a javelin and tries to impale him on the wall. Amen? Are y'all tracking with me? What did he not understand that Jonathan understood? Jonathan understood. Listen, I want y'all to get this so bad. Jonathan understood if David hadn't have come down to the battle, they had have been dead anyway. You hear me? There would be no kingdom. There would be no life without David. What Saul didn't understand was you wouldn't be king anymore. Amen? The Philistines would have you nailed to the wall and your kingdom would have been ended. He couldn't accept who David was, because he still wanted to be in the position of getting the glory. Whew. And the whole while he couldn't see, without David, in our case, without Jesus, we have nothing. Amen? It takes a wise person to look at Jesus and say, without Jesus, we have no hope of life. It takes a fool to look at Jesus and say, what can you do for me today? How can you help me get through my mess? Where's the money? Where's the house? Where's the car? Where's this? Where's that? Why? God, why? And a wise man looks at him and says, because of Calvary. I have the hope of eternal life. I'll take that. Without you, I have nothing. Amen. Is that amazing? I seen that for the very first time and it dropped to my spirit. I'm like, my gosh, he's walking around as if he was Jonathan, and Jonathan is completely okay with it. Somebody said, hey, that's Jonathan out there winning all those battles and killing all those Philistines. No, that's not me. I gave all my honor, my heritage, and my kingdom over to David because he's the anointed one. Saul's upset that he's still living in the palace and God using David. He's mad because some women out there are singing, David gets his 10,000s. Amen? And I get my 1,000s. Man, if you would have got that right, I know some preachers like that. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. What they should have said is, we're killing 11,000 of the enemy. That's what Saul should have said. Man, me and David on the same team, we're killing 11,000. Instead, I only got 1,000. Amen? Listen, without David, without Jesus, you'd be a dead man. You understand? Is that good? Let's all stand. It's like, Miss Betsy, come and get it. Just play a song of invitation, if you would.